let's begin. Zechus, once again, for those of us who have been learning Daf Yomi, to once again begin Shas, and Baruch Hashem for those who are beginning, Shechyanu v'kimanu v'yanu, what a zechus we have, to be able to begin this particular limud. So we begin Beis Amud Aleph, Me'em Asai Korin Eshma V'Arvin. When do we begin? When do we begin to read Shema at night? So the Gemara is, because remember, again, as the Gemara is going to point out, the Torah tells Shach B'chav Kumecha, we go ahead and we have an obligation to go ahead and recite Shema twice, once in the morning and once at night. So the Mishnah, we'll discuss why the Mishnah begins with the Kriya Shema of the night. So the Mishnah asks, from what time do we begin Shema at night? Mishor shakohanim nichnasan lechol b'trumasan, ad sof ha'ashmura harishon adiri Rabbi Eliezer. So, first of all, Rabbi Eliezer, from the time that the kohanim go into Itruma until the end of the first watch. So what does this mean? So the kohanim, so as Rashi points out, a kohen we know has certain privileges, quite as many privileges. One of them is that he has the ability to consume truma. The halacha is, if a kohen becomes tameh, he's not permitted to go ahead and eat truma until after going ahead and going to the mikvah, as well as for certain types of tumah, he's also obligated to go ahead and bring a karban. So for example, let's say the kohen became metzora, so he'd be obligated to go ahead and go to the mikvah, as well as bring out karban. So the Mishnah over here says that the times that the kohanim would go ahead and go into eat truma. Now, what does that mean? The way it would normally work is, on the day of your purification, a person would go to the mikvah during the day, and then they would have what's called Herav Shemesh. Herav Shemesh just simply means the sun goes down. Once the sun goes down, you're permitted to go ahead and eat, or Once there's nightfall, you're permitted to go ahead and eat Truma. So what we're going to see over here is, essentially according to Rabbi Eliezer, this is the time of Seisa Kochavim. This is nightfall. So the time to Kohanim go ahead and go into Truma is nightfall until the end of the first watch. The Gemara will later on explain, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the night is divided up into three different parts, so that you will see Machlok is three or four. So Sof HaAshmura HaRishona means until some time of the end of the first watch into the night. V'chachamim omer ad chatzos. Chachamim say you can say Kriya Shema until chatzos. Rabbi Gamliel omer ad shiala amod hashachar. Rabbi Gamliel says you could say Kriya Shema until dawn, just so we get our halachic zmanim right. So remember, at the end of the day, the only real observable event that we can see is sunrise. All these other events are very hard to discern just with the regular eye. So for example, Alos is 72 minutes prior to sunrise. The Rambam paskins that it's 90 minutes before sunrise. We don't hold like the Rambam unless it's some kind of extenuating circumstance. So here, Rabbi Gamliel is saying that you could actually go ahead and say Kriya Shema until dawn, 72 minutes before sunrise. Ma'ase ubo ubanam mibeis ha-mishnah. So there was an episode where Rabbi Gamliel's sons came home from the Beis HaMishnah. They came home from a wedding. Amru lo, or maybe they came from the Siyam HaShas, you know, so Amru lo, lo karinu es Shema. And they said to him, when they came home, we have not yet read Shema. Amru lohem, imlo amud hashachar, chayoven atem likros. So he said to them, if the dawn has not yet dawned, then you're obligated to say Shema. Velo zu bilvad amru, and it's not just that, elo, komash amru chachamim ad chatzos, mitzvason ad shiyala amud hashachar. And Rabbi Gamliel now says something amazing. Rabbi Gamliel says, and by the way, you know how in the Mishnah you quoted before me the position of the Chachamim? And the Chachamim say that you could say Shema until Chatzos? Well, guess what? The Chachamim actually aren't arguing with me. The Chachamim also hold that Me'ikra Din, that according to the technical letter of the law, you can recite Kriya Shema of Mariv until Alos. Right? So, any time they said until Chatzos, they really mean what? Until the next morning, until Amud HaShachar. For example, Hector Chalovim Ve'Ivorim, the burning of the leftover fats and limbs, mitzvasan achiela ya'ala Amud HaShachar. You can go ahead, remember both sides, there's no mandated sacrificial service at night in the Beis HaMikdash. The only time we have real avod, the real karbonos, is by day. So what do you do at night? So inevitably, there were leftover fats and limbs from the various karbonos. They burnt that throughout the night. So the Mishnah is now saying over here that the burning of the fats and the limbs, you could do that until Amud HaShachar. Similarly, any karbonos that could only be eaten for one day. It's like Rashi points out, kigon chatos, asham, kivsi atzeres, minochos, toda. different karbanos have different windows of consumption. So any karban that could only be eaten for a day, what does a day mean? Mitzvason ad shi'ala amud ashachar. You're permitted to eat it until dawn. So we'll say, so what is Rabbi Gamliel doing? Rabbi Gamliel is bringing a whole number of cases in which the Chachamim are allowing you to go ahead and do things until Chatzos. So therefore Rabbi Gamliel is, until Alos, until dawn. So Rabbi Gamliel is therefore saying, so too in the Mishnah. Even though the Chachamim said you could only say Kriyat Shema of Ma'ariv until Chatzos, until midnight, they don't really mean it. They really mean until Alos, until dawn. It's strange. If that's the case, then why do the Chacham say until Chatzos? Meaning, say what you mean. If you hold that you could say Kriyat Shema of Ma'ariv until Alos HaShachar, until dawn, so why are you putting it in the Mishnah that you could only say it until Chatzos? To which the Gemara answers, Kedei laharchik adam min ha'avera, in order to distance a person from sin. What does that mean? So we know what it means. What it means is that people tend to push the envelope, and if you tell them that they have until Alos, then what's going to happen? Right? They're going to delay it. So instead, what do? Tell them that they have to do it much earlier in the evening. And this way, if it happens to be that for some reason they forget or they make a mistake, there's a cushion. There's a protective area that they're going to be okay. That's the Mishnah Bosai. Says the Gemara. Good morning. Tana hechakoi. Yaakov, there's coffee if you want. Tana hechakoi. You know what? We also have chairs.
I have more chapter.
Okay, thank you, Gavi. Tana Hechakoi. So the Gemara asks a very interesting question. Tana Hechakoi diktani me'emosai. So Bosai, you have to understand something. So what's interesting about this Mishnah is, the Mishnah opens up with a detail. In general, when Masechtos begin, so Masechtos begin with a more general approach to a particular mitzvah, or a more general question regarding a particular halachic issue. So what the Gemara is pointing out over here is, when the Mishnah says, Ne'emasai Korin Shema, what time do we read Shema? That already presupposes that what? That we read Shema. So, meaning that presupposes that we've already spoken about this whole concept of Shema. So the Gemara says, Tana Hechakoi, where is the Tana, where is the author of our Mishnah coming from? Diktani Me'imasai. Meaning, what's his springboard for this conversation that he launches into the details and already asks, when do we say Shema? So the Gemara says, Vesu, my Shna Detani B'Shachris Bereisha, my Tani Detani B'Arvis Bereisha, Lisni D'Shachris Bereisha. Question number two is, why does our Tana begin with a discussion of the nighttime Shema, of Ma'ariv? Why doesn't he begin with a discussion of the morning Shema? To which the Gemara says, it's not a kasha. Tana akrokoi. So the truth is, the reason why our Tana does not need to give a whole introduction to Kriya Shema is why? Because really all he's operating on is a pasuk. Right? He's operating on a pasuk. It's not like Shema is some kind of concept that's derived from some inference of the Mefurish pasuk. Dichsiv b'shach b'cha uvekumecha. Torah tells us when you go to sleep and when you get, or when you lie down and when you get up. V'hachi katoni zman kriya shema d'shchiva emas. So what is the Gemara asking? All we know, what is the Mishnah asking? All we know is that the Torah tells us that when do you say Shema, b'shach b'cha uvekumecha, when you lay down and when you get up. So the Gemara now, so the Mishnah now is asking what? What is the definition of what? Zman Shchiva. So what is that? When does that time begin that people begin to lay down? People go to sleep. So the Gemara answers, or the Mishnah answers, Misha shakohanim nechnasan le'echol b'trumasan. From the time that the Kohanim go ahead and go in to eat their truma. The Gemara says, V'yibayzema. Other possibility is, Yolif mibriyasa shalolam. So we'll say, the Gemara now just really answered both questions. So Tana Hechakoi, so question number one, remember, was what? Where is the Tana coming from that the Tana is just launching into a discussion about the details of Shema without going ahead and telling us about the source of Shema? To which the Gemara answers, well, you don't really need to get that much into the source of Shema because it's an explicit pasuk. Question number two was what? Why are we beginning with Ma'ariv and not Shachris? So the Gemara also answers that. Why do we begin with Ma'ariv? B'shach b'cha. It's the order of the pasuk. Torah first speaks about going out and going to sleep. So the Ma'ariv Shema is the natural first discussion. Or the Gemara Sidi by Sema, another possibility as to why we begin with the nighttime Shema, discussing nighttime Ma'ariv Shema, not Shachris, Yolef Mibriyasa Shalolam. We go ahead and We go ahead and we learn this out from the creation of the world. The Torah itself says what? It was evening, it was daytime, it was one day. It was one day. So the Gemara answers that the Torah itself, when discussing the creation of the world, puts the nighttime before the daytime. So therefore, when the Tana begins the discussion of the Mishnah, so the Tana goes ahead and begins with Ma'ariv Shema as well. But so just as an aside, I'll say something very interesting. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, it was one of the things that we're going to see, especially in these first couple of Dapim, is the ambiguity that exists regarding Zmanim, specifically nighttime. When does nighttime begin? And we're going to see a whole variety of shitos that starts from sunset, right? 13 minutes after sunset, 18 minutes after sunset, 72 minutes after sunset, 9 minutes after sunset. Is actually, interestingly enough, there's a sheet of the Urayim, is a position of the Urayim, the Sefer Urayim, that holds that Shkia is sunset is 18 minutes before our sunset. 18 minutes before our sunset. Now, amazingly enough, we don't pay any attention to that sheet of the Urayim except when? Erev Shabbos. So if you want to know where the concept of lighting candles 18 minutes before Shkia comes from, it's based on the position of the Urayim. That the Urayim says that Shkia is 18 minutes earlier. That's why, again, we're making with the 18 minutes, right? But that's where that 18 minutes comes from. Because Erev Shabbos, in order to have some level of Tosefa Shabbos, adding on to Shabbos as well, we accept that position that normally we reject. But once you get after sunset, all halachic heck breaks loose, right? Because we don't know what's happening over here. Is it night? Is it day? Is it both? So the Rav said, it's interesting that it could very well be that it's Kadosh Baruch Hu did it by design. Why? Because what word does the Torah use for nighttime in creation? Erev. Erev itself is a very ambiguous word, right? Normally when we translate Erev as how? Right? Evening. Because when we talk about night, what word do we use? Usually Laila. Laila, the Torah itself uses that word for describing darkness. So I'm just pointing out to you, the Rav points out that all of the machlokis itself seems to be, Kadosh Baruch Hu must have wanted us to, I guess, to think a lot. All right, Ihachi Seifa. So the Gemara says the following. If that's the case, so now we'll say, now what we have established is that the order of the Mishnah is by design, based on either B'shach B'cha of Kumecha or Vayera Vayivoker. Ihachi Seifa, so the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, Seifa usually refers to the end of the Mishnah. In this case, actually what it refers to is the next Mishnah. Ihachi Seifa Diktani, B'shachar Mevarech Shtayim Lefaneha, V'achas Lachareha, U'ba'erev Mevarech Shtayim Lefaneha, U'shtayim Lachareha, Listni the Arvis Berisha. So the Gemara says like this, well, then look at the next Mishnah. Because we'll say, what is the next Mishnah? The next Mishnah discusses the laws of the morning Shema, actually the next Mishnah discusses the laws of Birchos Kriya Shema. And the next Mishnah says that in the morning Shema we make two brachos before Shema, and one bracha after Shema, and in the nighttime Shema we make two brachos beforehand, and two brachos afterwards. But if you're telling me that the Mishnah always follows the order of what? Night before day, then why doesn't that Mishnah follow the same order as well? And let the next Mishnah, when talking about Birchos Kriyashma, talk about the Birchos Kriyashma of Ma'ariv before the Birchos Kriyashma of Shachris. To which the Gemara says, well, no, there's an order. Tana Pasach Ba'arvis, Vahadr Tani B'Shachris. Adukai B'Shachris, Parish Mili D'Shachris, Vahadr Parish Mili D'Arvis. So the Gemara says, no, because here's the way it works for both sides. The Tana begins with a discussion about Ma'ariv, right, and then goes into a discussion about Shachris. Once it's already speaking about Shachris, it finishes out the laws of Shachris and then concludes with Ma'ariv. Or in other words, and this you find stylistically throughout Shas, that the Gemara will introduce a topic, then topic B. Once I'm already on topic B, it doesn't make sense to jump back to topic A. Let's finish off topic B. Once you finish off topic B, we'll then finish off topic A. So topic A becomes the bookends. So here we introduced Ma'ariv, but we also spoke about the end time for Ma'ariv, right? Which then creates the beginning of Shema, of Shachris. Once now we brought up Shachris, we began to discuss Shachris a little bit. We're not going to jump back to Ma'ariv. Let's finish out Shachris, and then at the end. So therefore, this Mishnah begins Ma'arif, right? Next Mishnah, it tells us the same concepts ultimately by Shachris, but then when we launch into discussion of Birchos Kriya Shema, once we're already in Shachris, let's finish off Shachris, and then we loop back to discuss the halachos of Birchos Kriya Shema vis-a-vis Ma'arif. Okay, to which the Gemara says, Amar Mar, Mishnah Shachar Nechas Alecha B'Trumasam. So now the Gemara is, almost like nobody's taking coffee. It's produced, it's under Ari's Hashgah. No. I was like, please, really, it's Stephen, that's your second one.
It's only a handful, it comes out really slow.
Alright. So now the Gemara is like this. Amar Mar, Mishashak Hanim Nechasan Lechol B'Trumasan. So the Gemara says, Mar says that you could begin to recite Kriya Shema from the time that the Kohanim go into Truma. So the Gemara says, Michdi Kohanim Emas Ka'achli Truma. So now the Gemara says, by the way, and when exactly do Kohanim go in to eat Truma? So the Kohanim go in to eat Truma, right? If a Kohen was Tamei, he went to the mikvah, and then he goes out nightfall to go ahead and eat. He go and waits till says kohen till we'll call it nightfall. We'll discuss. Or we'll say one of the interesting things we'll have to do is what is says kohen. We know the emergence or the appearance of stars. We'll qualify that term as we go on, but for now we'll just call it nightfall. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Why don't you just say this thing, Mishnah says kohen? Why are you making this complicated? Why do you have to tell me that you could say Shema? You could begin to say the nighttime Shema at the time the kohanim go in to eat their truma, right? Just keep it simple. Tell me you could begin to say the nighttime Shema when? When? Say Sakochavim. Leave me alone with the Kohanim. The Gemara says, Milsa agav orche kamash malon, Kohanim emas ka'achli b'trum, mishas say Sakochavim. So the Gemara says something very interesting. You know, so you have to appreciate something. That once upon a time, Torah Baal Peh was Baal Peh. Once upon a time, the oral law was an oral tradition. Because of that, there were many devices that were devised to allow for memorization of information and material. So what would often happen is they would bundle concepts. That way you'd be, by stating one concept, that automatically would trigger your memory for something else. So what did Chazal do? Chazal said, we know that the time, according to the Tana over here, we know that the time for Zman Kriya Shema is Tzeisak Ochavim, is nightfall. So now what we could do is, if we go ahead and we tell you that the Zman of saying Kriya Shema at night is the time that Kohanim go ahead and go in to eat their truma, what does that help us do? That helps us remember a halacha vis-a-vis the kahuna. So Milsav Agav Orchei Kamash Malon is the Mishnah's coming to teach us an additional concept just by way of Shema. You're right, the Kohanim have nothing to do with this, but this is a great mechanism for just remembering an important din of Tum and Tara by Kohanim. But Enoch Inami at the end of the day is Seisa Kohanim. So that we'll discuss. And the simple answer is because not everybody's going to agree with it. From the Mishnah, it's a davar pashut. For everybody else, it's not necessarily a davar pashut. So the Gemara says something else. The Gemara goes on. The Gemara says v'ha kamash malon. He also teaches us another concept, de kapara lo ma'akva. That also, and listen to this. We know, as I mentioned when we opened the Mishnah, is that when it comes to certain forms of tumah, let's say, for example, a coin becomes a mitzora. For argument's sake, it becomes a mitzora. So we know that part of the purification process of tzaras is not only the going to the mikvah, and not only the certain waiting of time, but it's also karbanos. So there's another chiddush in the Mishnah, which is that you see that a Kohen could go ahead and resume his truma consumption even before what? Even before he brings his karban. Because remember, when would he bring his karban? You don't bring your karban at night, you bring your karban the next morning. So what the Mishnah is also teaching us is that halacha lemaisa, after he goes to the mikvah by day, and he has what's called he'er of shemesh, the sun goes down, nightfall comes, he's permitted to eat truma even though he has not yet brought his karban. The kapara lo ma'akva. Kapara, which means the karban, is not ma'akev, does not prevent him from consuming his truma. Kidisanya, as the Braisa says, uba shemesh vitaher. So the Torah says, Uba Shemesh Vetaher. Now we'll discuss what this concept means right now. So the Gemara says, Bias Shemosho Ma'akvasu Mile'achol B'truma, Ve'in Kaparasu Ma'akvasu Mile'achol B'truma. So the Gemara, the way the Gemara translates this phrase is, Uba Shemesh means what? Literally, the sun comes. What does it mean, sun comes? The sun goes away. Right? It really means the sun goes. Right? The sun goes away, i.e. nightfall. Uba HaShemesh, once the sun disappears, once nightfall comes, Vitaher, Bias Shmasho Ma'akvaso, it is the setting of the sun, nightfall, but not really sunset, nightfall, that goes ahead and is Ma'akev, and would prevent him from eating Truma, meaning the sun has to go down, nightfall has to arrive, and then he could eat his Truma, but the carbon would not prevent him from eating his Truma, or the lack of carbon would not prevent him from eating his Truma. Umimai, the Hayuba HaShemesh Yoma. So he says, well, one second. The way you're interpreting the pasuk is that Uba HaShemesh means what? That the sun goes down. The sun goes down. The day is over. Nightfall is coming. And Taher refers to the individual. That halochalam, excuse me, and Taher refers to the day. Right? That meaning, the way you would read the pasuk is Uba HaShemesh, that when the sun goes away, Vitaher. And ultimately now, the day is gone, and therefore he is purified. So the Gemara says, how do you know to read the pasuk that way? Dilma, Bias Orohu, Umay Vitaher, Taher Gavra. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Maybe Uba HaShemesh actually means something different. This is quite interesting. Maybe Uba HaShemesh means what? Maybe Uba HaShemesh is the sunrise. The sunrise. Vitaher, and what does Taher mean? Taher means the individual, Karban. So you both say, the way we're understanding Taher in the first understanding of this pasuk is, Taher ultimately refers to the day. That once the day passes, the individual now is Tahor, even without the carbon. But maybe, according to the second version, Uba HaShemesh refers to sunrise, Vitaher, and now the person will become fully purified. Why? Why? Because not only does he have the passage of time, not only does he have the mikvah, but what else does he have?
Carbon.
So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba Bar Rav Shila, Im kein lemakra v'yitar. If that's the case, Rabbi Rav Shila wanted to say that halacha lemaisa, the Torah then should have said v'yitar, and he will then become tahor. My v'taher, taher yoma. So interestingly enough, no. What is taher there? If the Torah goes out of its way to use the word taher, taher is interestingly, according to this version, is not referring to the individual. What is Vitaher referring to? Vitaher is referring to the day. Vitaher is the way that the Torah says, literally, when the day has been purified, it's another way of saying the day has elapsed. The day is gone. Uba HaShemesh, when the sun goes down, Vitaher, the day is done, and therefore, ultimately, the individual is permitted to eat Truma. And he says, as colloquially it's used, Kida Amri Inshi, as people often say, I'arev Shimsha, when the sun goes down, Va'adki Yoma, the day is done. Okay, so the Gemara says, B'ma'arava, in the west, which is Eretz Yisrael, B'ma'arava, Had Rabba Bar Rav Shila lo shmielahu. Interestingly enough, in the west, in Eretz Yisrael, they didn't have on record this statement of Rabba Bar Rav Shila. So Rabba Rav Shila was one who, just two lines ago, was one who came along and helped us understand that Uba HaShemesh Vitaher refers to the sun setting. Vitaher actually refers to the fact that now the day is done, right? We are purified of the day. The day is behind us, because otherwise it should have said V'yitar. So in Eretz Yisrael, they didn't have this statement of Rabba Rav Shila, and therefore, Uba Uluhu Miboy. And therefore, they went through the same processing of questioning this pasuk. Hi, Uba HaShemesh Biashmashahu, Umay Vitaher Tahar Yoma. So on one hand, we could say, what does Uba HaShemesh mean? Uba HaShemesh means Bias Shmasho, right? That it could very well be it means, like we said before, that Tahar means the day is done, and, excuse me, Uba HaShemesh means the day is done, Umay Tahar Tahar Yoma, and Tahar refers to the day. O Dilma, Bias Orohu, Umay Vitaher Tahar Gavra. Also, the Gemara is quoting the same exact conversation. It's just pointing out that the same conversation they had in Bavel, but Rabbi Bar Rav Shila came to answer it, they had in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, V'hadu Pashlim Mibraisa, Midiktani Bibraisa, Simin Ledavar Tseisakochavim, Shmamina Bias Shmashohu, Umay Vitaher Toher Yoma. So the Gemara answers that they brought down a Braisa, and the Braisa said that there's a similar davar. What's the similar davar? The similar davar means that they had a simon. That what does it mean that Tanat Kohanim went in to eat Truma? That was Seisako Chavim. If the Tanat Kohanim are going in to eat Truma is Seisako Chavim, then by definition, what's the meaning of the Pasuk of Uba Shamish Vetaer? Baha Shamish must mean what? The day is over, sun setting. Vitaher refers to what? Refers to what? Refers to the day itself. As opposed to the alternate reading, which could be Uba HaShemesh means that Halacha L'maisa, the sun is coming up. Vitaher refers to the individual, i.e. Karban. So mostly what comes out according to this conclusion is we now have two different proofs for how to understand the pasuk. So let's just a quick summary. So the Gemara says, now we understand, first of all, why the Mishnah chooses to go ahead and illustrate Hilchos Kriya Shema with by saying the time that you could begin to say Shema is time that the Kohanim go into Truma. So why do we go ahead and say that instead of just saying Tesek Kohanim? Number one, Milsav Agav Orche Kamash Malon. The Mishnah is teaching us an additional halacha by way of Kriya Shema. The halacha is Seisak HaChavim, but once we're learning Kilchos Kriya Shema, let's throw in another halacha, makes it easier for memory, and now you remember the time the Kohanim go into eat Truma is Seisak HaChavim. So the Gemara says, you know what else you see from there? That for a Kohen to eat Truma, he doesn't need what? He doesn't need his karban. That as long as he went to the mikvah after Tumah, and he has Herav Shemesh, the sun goes down, that Allah Kalamaisa, that's enough to eat the Truma. So now once we're into the discussion about the Kohen, the Gemara says, and by the way, what is the pasuk that refers to this? Uba Shemesh Vetaher. The way the Gemara is dashing the pasuk is that Uba Shemesh refers to what? Sunset. Vitaher. Right. See, it's interesting. Vitaher, it's a little bit of a strange reading of the pasuk. Vitaher refers to the day. That's the Gemara, that's what Rabbi Rav Shila said. Vitaher means you are purified of the day, which is another way of saying the day is done. The day is behind you. You know, it's actually interesting. The Gemara says that when they wanted to describe someone who lost all of his money, so there were two ways that they used to say it. If they didn't want to say he lost his money, how would they say it? Either Yatsa Ploni Naki Minachasov or Yatsa Ploni Tahor Minachasov. Interestingly enough, that so and so is cleansed of all of his possessions, or so and so has been purified of all of his possessions, which makes sense because what's the notion of Tara? Tara means I was saddled with a state of Tumah, and now that state has been removed from me. So Uba Shemesh, the sun goes down, nightfall, Vitaher, and the day is done. The day is done. So how do you know that it doesn't mean sunrise? And maybe Vitaher, which is the Pashat reading, would refer to the individual Karban. Rabbi Barav Shila answers this in Bavel by saying, if that's the case, the Pasuk should have said V'yithar. Uba HaShemesh, which then would have read, when the sun comes up, V'yithar, and he will be purified. The fact that it says Vitaher lends credence to our first reading. In Eretz Yisrael, they didn't have Rabbi Barav Shila's, you know, drasha. So instead what they just said is, oh, we have a braisa. And the braisa tells us that what time is it? Seisak HaChavim. That's it. Similar davar. The braisa says it's Seisak HaChavim and that's it. So the conclusion there, Tzron Bavel, is the same. They just arrive at it in two different ways. Weiter. Says the Gemara. Amar Mar. Mishashak Arim Nechassan Lachobet Shumasan. So the Mishnah said from that you could go ahead, or Mar says, that you can go ahead and eat Truma from the time that the Kohanim enter into, excuse me, you could say Kriya Shema from the time that the Kohanim enter into eat Truma, or Minhu. So the Gemara asks a question. Me'ima say Kormen Shema Ba'arvin. When can you recite Shema at night? Mishaha ani nichnas le'echo pito b'melach ad sha'a sha'omed li pater mitoch se'udaso. So also this is interesting. So now the Gemara quotes another braisa that says, when can you begin to say the nighttime Shema? From the time that the ani goes in to eat his bread with salt until the time that he goes ahead and gets up from his suda, finishes his suda. Now, when does an ani go ahead and sit down to eat dinner? So Rashi points out over here the following. Rashi says, Mishaha ani she'ein lo ner lahadlik b'su'udaso. The ani generally is so poor that he doesn't have light to illuminate his su'uda, and therefore, presumably, when does he go in to eat? While it's still day. I will say, the Gemara discusses that, we'll see Gemara in Brachos, that it's much more there is a certain amount of satiation that comes about because of, as a result of seeing what you eat. That's the Gemara actually says that a suma, a blind person, is never fully sated. But we know it's true that part of the enjoyment of the eating experience is seeing it. So the ani goes ahead and dafka eats while there is still some light because he's too poor to afford the candle. So of course this is quite shocking for us, because now we have a brace that seems to indicate to us that when can you begin to say the nighttime Shema? Already before nightfall. Right, because the ani is going in to eat his meal while there's still light, and when's the end of saying Shema? Ad shah she'omid lipatim etoch sudaso. Now, when does the ani finish eating? Right, so with pashtus, when it gets dark. So, which is of course shocking for us on both levels, because what it's telling us is that zman kriyat Shema for Ma'ariv begins while there's still light, and it ends sometime in the beginning of the night as well. Seifa vaday pligi amas nisin, reisha mi lemi pligi amas nisin. So the Gemara says something very interesting. The second part of that statement, i.e., that the time for Kriyat Shema of Ma'ariv ends. Time for Kriyat Shema of Ma'ariv ends when the Oni goes out and finishes the Su'uda. That certainly argues on our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is giving you at least until, well, one of three times, either Chatzos, the end of the first Ashmora, or Alos Hashachar, and whatever this time that the Oni is getting up from his Su'uda, it's earlier than all three of those times. The question is, Reisha mi leima pligi, amas nisin. The Gemara then says, but one second, what about the Reisha? The time that the Ani goes in to go ahead and eat his Su'uda. Is that arguing on our Mishnah or not? So we'll say, according to Rashi, it's definitely arguing. We'll see as we get to the Maskam of the Gemara that clearly not everybody agrees with Rashi's understanding of this Ani time. So the Gemara says, lo, Ani v'koin chad shiuru. So the Gemara itself wants to posit that no, the time that the Ani goes in to eat his meal, as well as the time that the Kohen goes in to eat his Truma, that's the same time. Both Tzitzak O'Chavim. So the Gemara says, one second. Or minhu, me'im asay maschilin likros kriya shema ba'arvis. When can you begin to go ahead and say kriya shema at night? Mishash shebnei adam nichnasen le'echol pithan ba'arvei shabbos osiv Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds, at a time that people go in to sit down and eat their Shabbos meal on Erev Shabbos. The Rabbosai, what's the difference in eating your dinner on Erev Shabbos and eating your dinner the rest of the week? Right? So first of all, candles, but even more important is the fact that when you eat dinner during the week, so you could prepare as you want it, Erev Shabbos, everything must be prepared beforehand. So the assumption is people are eating earlier on Erev Shabbos than they are during the rest of the week. So says Rabbi Meir, when can you begin to go ahead and recite the nighttime Shema? At the time when people are eating dinner already on Erev Shabbos. The Chachamim say, Mishar Shakohanim Zakoin Lechol B'Trumasan. And the Chachamim say, no, you can only begin to say the nighttime Shema at the time when the Kohanim go in to eat their Truma. Similar Dover, and if you want an easy way to remember what time that is, say Sakochavim. Fine. So the Gemara says, Va'apa pi She'en Raya L'Dover, Zeich L'Dover. That was like, the Gemara just takes a quick commercial break over here, just for a moment. How do you know, by the way, that Tzeisa Kochavim is considered to be Laila? How do you know that? So the Gemara says, let me tell you, Shene Emar. So here, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk from Nehemiah. So the Pasuk says like this, V'anachnu osim bimelocha. We were working. V'chetziam machazikim birimachim. But some were holding spears. So some were working. We'll discuss exactly what this is. Some were working, and some were standing guard duty. And when did we work? Me'alos ha-shachar ad tzeisa kochavim. From dawn until tzeisa kochavim. Now, what does the next pasuk say? Va'omer, and the pasuk, the immediately following pasuk says, Va'haya lanu halayla mishmar, v'hayom melacha. And the night was for us a watch, and during the day, we did our work. So we'll say, now here's what's interesting, because here you have two psukim back to back. The first pasuk says that what? We were working from Alos HaShachar until Tzeisa Kochavim. What does the next pasuk say? We worked by day, and we stood watch at night. So what is the Gemara going to do? We're going to line up those. The pasuk itself seems to be giving us the definition of day. What's the definition of day? Right? Until Tzeis. From Alos until Tzeis. And what's the definition of night? Right? Bepashtos, from Tzeis until Alos. So the Bryce is just saying over here, we're bringing you a pasuk that, what are we trying to do? All we're trying to do is just find a pasuk that, and this is beautiful, that links the word Tzeis HaKochavim to Laila. And that's what we have in this pasuk. So we see over here, again, a Mefurisha pasuk. Granted, it's from Navi, it's not from Torah, it's not from Chumash, but there's a pasuk. And that's why, again, the Gemara is very careful to say, We can't use a pasuk from Nehemiah, especially a pasuk not talking about halacha, to go ahead and create a definitive halachic proof. But you know what? It's nice to have a pasuk that at least provides a remez, at least provides a scriptural allusion to what we're trying to accomplish. So the Gemara says, "My va'omer." Why do you have? See, here's what's interesting. When the Gemara does this, the word va'omer, and it says, which seems to indicate that the Gemara is bringing an additional layer of proof. But that second pasuk is not really an additional layer of proof. That second pasuk is what? It's part and parcel of this. That is the butter on the bread of the first part of the proof. So it means va'omer. So the Gemara says, well, one second. V'chi teima mechima arava shimsha lailahu. Maybe you might be tempted to say the following, as some will later on, that maybe when does nightfall begin? Nightfall begins Michi'er of Shimsha, sunset. Sunset. Ve'inhu v'mechashchi u'mekadmi. And maybe the fact that they were working until nightfall was just because what? They got an early start, right? Because, and maybe daytime doesn't start at alos. Maybe daytime actually starts at sunrise, which we'll see that machlokis as well. But the fact that they got started working at dawn and worked all the way until seisach achavim, they were diligent workers. They worked extra hard, but they were really working outside of the confines of day and night. So the Gemara says, no. Therefore, tashma v'haya lanu halayla mishmar v'hayom melacha. Therefore, the second pasuk comes along and says, no, that they only worked during the day and the nighttime was for watch. So that pasuk now gives us a time frame that day begins at alos and goes until tzeisah kochavim, and nighttime begins. So for our purposes, we're not worried about day right now. But for our purposes, what it does for us is it equates the word layla with tzeisah kochavim. Rabbi says it's very important because now the reason why I have to remember all of this is because now you're going to begin to appreciate the various machloksim that occur around the definition of day and night. Right? You know, when I was just in Eretz Yisrael, so just 2 weeks ago, we're davening at the Kotel Shabbos night. So I'm leaving the Kotel. I'm leaving the Kotel. It's about 8:20 at night, and as I'm walking out, there's a group of Hasidim. Right? The starting mincha. Right? So just so you understand, the whole notion of Zman Rabbeinu Tam, which says that nightfall is not until 72 minutes after Shkia, all of that whole machlokas, all of this is rooted in this Gemara. Again, we're going to have to add a couple of more layers. But if you really define that it's daytime, if you really say that it's daytime until Tzeisah Kochavim, that extends your day significantly. So just so you understand, you'll see when we get to Rabbeinu Tam, which we'll see later on, well, a couple of weeks, well, a couple of days, you'll see that it's rooted here. Okay, so the Gemara is like this. Kasaka daitcha, now let's loop back, because that was just the commercial. Kasaka daitcha, da ani ubne adam chachi urhu. So the Gemara says not like this. So we'll say, here's what we have now. We have three different opinions as to when you could go ahead and begin to say kriyashma at night. Right? Opinion number one is the time the Kohanim go into Yitruma. Now that seems to be the one time that we're pretty settled on means Tzeisah Kochavim. But the Gemara also advanced two other opinions, which was what? The time that the ani goes in to eat his meal, his dinner, or the time that what? People sit down to what? Eat their su'uda on Erev Shabbos. Right? So we have these three different time frames. So, Kohen we know, the other two we don't. So the Gemara says, Chasaka da'etcha, I might have thought, do'ani u'b'ni adam cha'chi'uru, that the time that the ani goes in to eat his meal, and the time that people go ahead and sit down to eat their meal, is one shear. V'i amrit ani v'koin cha'chi'uruhu, chachamim hainu Rabbi Meir. But if that's the case, then why are they quoted as two different opinions? Right? Then why would, then chachamim hainu Rabbi Meir? Then ultimately they'd be saying the same thing. So the Gemara says, Elo shmamina, ani shi'ur l'chud v'koin shi'ur l'chud. Rather, it must be that ani is one shear, ani is one time, and koin is another time. To which the Gemara answers, no, flip it. Lo, and this will make more sense in the conclusion, ani v'koin chad shi'uruhu, v'ani u'bnei adam lav chad shi'uruhu. Rather, it must be that the time that an ani goes in to eat his meal, and the time that kohanim go ahead to go in to eat their truma, that's one time, but meaning that's the same time, so essentially that would be Tzeisah Kochavim as well, which is a problem with Rashi's interpretation, because Rashi clearly felt that Ani was an earlier time, and the time that people go ahead and go in and sit down to eat their Shabbos meal, that's a separate time. That must be an earlier time. The Ani, the Koin Chachi Uru, is that true that Ani and Kohen are going to be the same shear? Or minhu me'emasai maschilin likro shema ba'arvin. What time do we begin to say the nighttime shema? Misha shekidesh hayom ba'arve shavasos. At the time that Shabbos begins, on Erev Shabbos, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua. All right, well, so you know what? Well, actually, we're going to stop over here. You'll do the rest for homework. We're going to pick up. So let me just tell you, just before we stop, because I want to be most of one important point. So Rashi points out, if you don't have to look at it, but Rashi on Beis Amud Aleph, I want to try that in each year. We're going to try to have one piece of, one nekuda of halacha, so that we come away with something we could actually hold on to and retain going forward. Rashi points out here something very interesting. If you skip to this first Rashi on the daf, Beis Amud Aleph. So you see in Rashi, it's the Rashi Atsof HaAshmura HaRishona. Atsof HaAshmura HaRishona. So about 2, 4, 6 lines down in that Rashi. Look at Rashi. So Rashi says, Im Kain, Lama Korin Osa Bebeis HaKnesses. So Moshe Rashi asks a very important kasha. It seems to be a davar pashat in the Mishnah that you can only begin to say the nighttime Shema from Tzeisa Kochavim and on, right? Because remember, at least in the Mishnah, nobody's arguing on that. The only machlokes in the Mishnah exists vis-a-vis what? Right? Until when? The machlokes in the Mishnah is until what time you could say Shema. But everybody agrees in the Mishnah that the beginning time for Shema is Tzeisa Kochavim. So Rashi asks a very simple question. Rashi says, but I don't understand. Moshuls are not davening Ma'ariv after Tzeisa Kochavim. So if that's right, we're davening Ma'ariv much earlier than that, such according to the conclusion of Tzeisa Kochavim is. So why are we sing Shema as part of Ma'ariv? So to which Rashi answers something very important. Im kein lama korin osam veisakneses, kedei la'amod b'tfila mitoch divrei Torah. In order to go ahead and begin to daven from mitoch divrei Torah, emerging from words of Torah. In other words, according to Rashi, what does Rashi say? That the Kriya Shema of Ma'ariv, that we say of Ma'ariv, is not real Kriya Shema. Of course, we know that's obvious because that's why we say to go ahead and repeat Kriya Shema after the Zman. But the Kasha, the fundamental question is, if it's not real Kriya Shema, so then what? Why say it at all? Let's just dispense with it and go ahead and say Shemona Esrei. To which Rashi says, because we have an idea that you can't just get up and say Shemona Esrei. Shemona Esrei is a dialogue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't just get up cold and launch right into that. You need some type of preparatory act to go ahead and put yourself in the right mindset for that. What's the prepare? So, for example, by Mincha, that's why we do what? We do Ashrei, right? Meaning, there's no din. Ashrei is not part of Mincha. Mincha is a Shemona Esrei. So how do we do Ashrei then? Because Ashrei is a good. It's a good entry. It's a good preparatory act to get us ready. So says Rashi Enochinami. When we say Shema as part of Ma'ariv, that's not real Kriya Shema. That's not called Kriya Shema of Ma'ariv. Kriya Shema of Ma'ariv is what we're going to say later on when we repeat Kriya Shema after Tzeisa Kochavim. So what is the Kriya Shema that we say before Ma'ariv? Divrei Torah. Essentially, it's Ashrei. Essentially, it's Ashrei. So why not say Ashrei again by Mincha? Because the truth is, Kriya Shema is better because Kriya Shema already has a connection to Ma'ariv. Because again, there is a Kriya Shema at night. I'm sorry? So that's the difference, right? So we'll get to that in the next Mishnah. There's another reason that we really do it is because of Birchos Kriya Shema. And Birchos Kriya Shema really have a din of Tefillah, not a din of Shema. So they go Shema. So we'll get to that. But interestingly enough, Rashi doesn't even bring that up. Rashi just simply says that just like you can't go into Mincha straight, you need an Ashrei, so too, even though the Shema of Ma'ariv is not the real Ma'ariv Shema, because the real Ma'ariv Shema has to be said after Tzeisa Kochavim, it has the status of Divrei Torah, and that's how we go ahead and we recite it before Shemona Esrei. I will say we'll stop over here.